Want consistent color for every job? Milo's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
The Burt Show.
The most exciting thing that has happened in this radio station for me in years just happened. They have just stocked our concessions with Heath bars.
Oh, are you kidding?
No, he's not. Whole box. Have you ever had a Heath
this
bar?
This is the most old man thing I've ever heard you say in my life.
Have you ever had a Heath bar?
I have had a Heath bar before. It's, you know, it's chocolate covered cardboard.
Oh, you stop.
Damn.
Shots fired.
Katie, will you put her in the penalty box? No talking for the next hour and a half. I just bought six of them if you guys want one.
Are you serious?
You bought six of them?
Yeah, I won't say no to a sweet treat.
Okay.
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, maybe you just need to be reacquainted.
Did you really just buy six of those bad boys?
Yeah, it's Amanda's favorite candy.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
And mine as well. But there you go.
Okay.
Try it. Just give it a try.
Oh, this is
the most underrated candy in the United States of America.
Ooh, do ASMR version of eating a Heath bar.
Here's a little candy ASMR for you guys at home.
You gotta.
Admit it. This is the most unappetizing looking. Look at how skinny. This is Ozempic candy. Look at how skinny it is.
That's what you get.
That's how I'm trying to be this summer. It's like a gust of wind that I break apart. Anyway.
Look at that. Look at what the universe just did. Just took half of it off and dropped it on the floor. You don't deserve it.
What is in the middle? It's like this weird looking.
Is it nougat?
It's brown. No, it's toffee.
Toffee.
It's toffee.
Come on. Just give it a little. God, whole thing in there, man.
We got to listen.
ASMR. Oh. I'm going to just broke it.
That's not awesome.
Wait, listen.
I mean, come on. It's pretty awesome, man. You still don't like it?
It's not bad. Listen, it's sugar. How am I going to be like, that's bad? Right. It's just, you know, it could be better.
What's your guys' favorite candy? Just real quick before we get into Mother's Day and the romanticism behind Mother's Day.
I am super, super basic. I just want a nice piece of high quality dark chocolate.
Ooh, yeah.
That's my go-to.
So if they put dark chocolate in there, you'd be fine with that. That's it. It's all you need.
Yeah, but it has to be like good quality dark chocolate.
So not like the old Chunkies. Remember those?
With a
little chocolate blocks of candy?
No, I don't remember that.
That might be the oldest thing I've ever said. What's your
Lifesavers, gummies, and Sour Patch Kids?
Those are good.
Okay.
Those are so good.
Cass, you want in on this?
A solid Snickers.
Yes.
I don't know. Queen. It's like filling somehow. Yeah.
You know what is also underrated? The Baby Ruth.
Oh,
my God. Underrated. Seriously?
Nah, it's rated accurately.
It's evenly rated.
There's a real mutiny going on in the studio this morning. All right, so is some of the romanticism taken away from Mother's Day when you tell your husband exactly what you want and exactly what you need?
No. For all the mamas out there, it is officially May. Mother's Day is just a couple of weeks away. And so if you have consistently been disappointed by what you have received or did not receive, I should say, on Mother's Day, then I feel a revolution coming.
We need the that theme from Les Mis.
Les Mis, yes. It's a Mother's Day revolution. And my husband has many, many admirable qualities. He is a good, solid man. But he also has flaws, like any human being, right? I know I have more flaws than he does, but there is one flaw, and that is it's a little lacking when it comes to planning for a holiday like Mother's Day, right? And I have been, Jimmy's only four, and I've already had a couple of disappointing Mother's Days. So
four of them?
Not four of them, but three out of the four.
Five of them?
The first one and the last one has been a little rough.
What made it rough?
There was like literally hardly any acknowledgement whatsoever.
But isn't sort of, just to side with Bart here for just a second and play husband defense attorney?
Sure.
Haven't you guys sort of established in your relationship, you just told us, when it comes to anniversaries,
correct,
you guys give each other a smack on the butt. That's all you really need.
Correct.
Are birthdays a big deal?
They typically no, because I just want to be able to go away. So as long as I can go away somewhere and do something, and he, like, now that he watches, you know, he'll watch Jimmy. That's one thing. We've never really gone big for birthdays, and for Christmas it's always been experiences. So we never exchange gifts for Christmas. We have always gone somewhere. That's changed now that we have a kid. But here's the difference with Mother's Day, right? This one hits different because it was such a labor to get pregnant and to have Jimmy. Mm. So because we went through not one, but two rounds of IVF, and there were a lot of downs, and then, you know, that obviously grand up of being able to get pregnant and have Jimmy, I think because of everything that went into us getting pregnant and going through that process, it hits different than the other holidays do.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Than the other special occasions do. So this year, I am seeing my man for who he is. I am accepting him for who he is. And instead of setting myself up and once again getting disappointed, I'm just going to tell him point blank what I would like for Mother's Day.
He's a very practical guy. I think that he'd be down with this. Is he on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most romantic guy in the world, where does he lie?
That he does not on the scale.
We're in the negative. Wow.
Unreadable.
You know what, though? That's okay, because he makes it up in so many other areas. You can't. It's like a video game, you know, when you see all the strengths. Some strengths are just more than others. It's the same thing.
See, and here's the thing. Like, it also depends on what your definition of romance is, right? So, you know, some people might think it's very romantic that he gets up with me every single morning and makes my coffee and makes my lunch and, you know, gets me out the door, or we'll go out to my car in the colder months and warm it up. And I
would count that.
I count that as well. It depends on what your love language is and what you deem is what you, you know, deem as romance. Now, if you think romance is your man surprising you with a dress to wear and taking you out to the symphony for a night, or like making reservations to this fancy restaurant and making sure to order your favorite bottle of wine, maybe that's your definition of romance. Mm-hmm. And that has never happened. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it just depends on what you deem romantic. Now, back to Mother's Day. So again, I am just going to shoot him off an email. I kid you not. Or maybe I'll make a note and share the note with him. Regardless,
what will turn him off most? That's what you should go with.
Turn him off most. I think the email will be received the best.
Okay.
So we'll just send an email and I'll be like, all right, so this is what I want you to do. I want you and Jimmy to get up. All right. I want you to go to Alon's and get me a cappuccino and a pan of chocolate and come back to the house and come upstairs and deliver it to the bed. And then when I come downstairs, if there could be like a beautiful bouquet of flowers and some cards, that would be great. I would actually prefer like a handwritten, something like crafty because, you know, my husband is actually, he's a good drawer. So if you and Jimmy can like make me like a handmade card from him, that would be fantastic. I would like to be able to have the afternoon to myself just to kind of relax or whatever. If you could have my favorite bottle of rosé chilling in the fridge, that would be great. I'm literally going to do step by step that, like, just if you can do this and acknowledging me as a mom on this day, we good.
We are so different, and I'm wondering where you guys fall into this also, because that sounds, if I know what's coming, it would takes all the fun out of the day. Like, if I know that I wake up and they're providing me the coffee that I've already asked for and all that, it takes the fun out of it. I want to be surprised a little bit.
If I don't, I won't.
I understand. No, I was feeling it the same exact way. Like, I'm sure he would appreciate it, but you would still appreciate it the same?
Yes, I'm still getting a gourmet cappuccino while I'm laying my butt in bed with a warm pan of chocolate. I'm a happy mom.
However we get there.
Even if I had to explain it. However we get there. Even if I have to say, for the floral arrangement, if you can please make sure XYZ flower, I will do it. I will do it. I'll be like, don't put no BS carnation filler flower in there. I want panties. I want hydrangeas. Give me a rose.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think she feels passionately about it.
A little bit.
I'm getting the Mother's Day of my dreams this year.
The Bird Show.
Want consistent color for every job? Milo's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Was a college professor being cruel, or are we just a bunch of snowflakes? We'll get into it here in just one second. I want some clarification on something from you guys. Has to do with our in-show celebrity contest. You want to explain what that is, KK?
Yeah, so it is basically a who do you know, but with Burt Show members instead of listeners this time. So Burt has tasked all of us with getting the biggest celebrities we can find to call in to our hotline. We don't know when they're going to call. You're going to hear this sounder when they do call in. My heart always like jumps into my throat whenever that happens.
I'm always ready to tilt my head back for a tequila shot.
So we're trying to convince celebrities to call in. The biggest celebrity that does call in as deemed by the listeners is going to win $1,000 for charity. So that's a cool little incentive. But for us, if we are the ones that get the biggest celebrity to call in, mm-hmm. Burt is providing us with a week off of work paid.
All right. Question number one. If the contest was to end today and you guys had a vote, who wins, Homer Simpson or Russell Wilson?
Well, it kind of depends, right? Because are we basing it off the character or off the actual actor?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Personally, I think daytime soap star Aiden Turner should still be in the running.
I bet.
I'm going Homer. Sorry.
You'd be Homer for you?
Well, so Russell's a huge name, but I think if you don't know football, you wouldn't know him. Yeah. And I feel like more people would know Homer Simpson.
Yeah, if Homer Simpson wants a table and the restaurant is full, they are making a table for Homer Simpson.
Like, probably, yes.
Yes.
In Springfield.
Yes.
not everywhere.
All right, but here's my legit question for you guys. Can one of you guys come to me as a resource to get a phone number for a celebrity?
No.
The reason why I took myself out of this is because I've been doing this for a super long time and working with a lot of reps, and it wouldn't have been fair for me to offer up a contest for one that I'd have a pretty good shot at winning. But if I was one of your resources to give you one of the many names of celebrities that are in my phone, like season 3 contestant of American Idol, Elliot Yasmin.
Yeah, so since this is the contest you have created, I feel that would be cheating or giving somebody on the show an unfair advantage.
Okay.
Now, and I have purposely, like, we have a PD here who has contacts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I purposely have not gone to our programmer, you know, program director here at the radio station, because I feel like that's cheating, because she technically should be able to provide contacts for everybody.
Oh, you better than me. She's the first person I emailed.
Is that right? Huh.
So for myself, I do have other friends in the industry. Mm-hmm. Have I hit up other radio friends who I think might be able to, like, you know, hook me up? Yes. Has anything come of it? No.
Now, our show director, Tommy, should be running away with this contest. He's been doing radio as long as I have. He worked on much bigger shows that had celebrities from L.A. coming in all the time. The dude worked for Rick Dees. He's a legendary Hall of Famer. He's interviewed everybody. You should have these names in your contact list.
Well, first of all, you mentioned in your phone Elliot Yasmin. It's actually Elliot Yamin. Okay. Because I've got his number in my phone.
That's shocking.
But Rebecca was already hitting me up this morning. I'm trying to get Ryan Seacrest.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do it?
I think that would be a slam dunk. Here's a dude that knows this contest, right? He's probably done it. He's done radio. He could understand where you guys are coming from. He knows the value of a good week off of vacation.
That man has every second of his day planned. He does not have time to call us.
He's also very busy.
Well, I think I could get him to call in. Because my former staff member is his executive producer.
Oh.
Okay.
I told Rebecca, I was like, that's kind of mine.
Doug. This is him intimidating you guys right now. These are like two boxers standing off and just looking at each other in the ring. He's trying to intimidate.
I just happened to be thinking about somebody. It was something somebody said on the show yesterday that reminded me of a celebrity, and I was like, I think I have their number in my phone, and I looked it up. Sure enough,
there it is.
There was another one I had forgotten about.
So I've been consumed with the Pinot period party. So after Sunday, I'm going to be like full on, and I have another idea that I'm going to throw out Monday to see if it helps me out in this competition.
Okay. All right. You guys got 2 weeks to get the biggest celebrity on here. We'll see how we do. All right, we got a couple of seconds here to run this by you guys. Was this professor being cruel or not? Do you have the setup here?
This is so funny. So ESPN posted this via at Professor Pittman on TikTok. And it's the end of the semester for college students. So it's a college class. And this guy is dressed as like a bridge troll looking wizard man.
He's from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, sure.
Gandalf,
so
man.
He's dressed up as Gandalf, so he's like the long beard and the wig, and he's got a staff, and he's wearing a robe, and he's standing up in front of the class.
Just look like my rabbi. What's my rabbi doing there?
You need to watch Lord of the Rings again.
I also don't have a rabbi.
And he starts calling out names to give them their grades, and so he goes down the long list of last names, and one by one, each college student starts standing up. And if I had known what was coming, I would have stayed flat on my butt.
You all voted to know your grades before the semester's over. I'm just making it more fun. Please stand up if your last name is Mortensen, McKellen, Wood, Aston, Lee, and Bloom. You shall not pass! Everybody else, you got a C- or higher. Have a great summer.
Those students all take off, and the ones standing there are the ones that did not pass. They failed.
So shameful.
Cruel or not?
No, that was cruel. That was, and listen, college can be very cruel. It is like a wake-up call after you from high school and how you're coddled in high school, and then you go to college and literally like nobody cares about you and whether or not you show up to class. But I was watching this, and I was like, no way he's going to out them for not passing. And sure enough, he did. And I was like, that's public shaming. Like, he just publicly shamed all those students in his class.
Did you think the same thing?
That was foul, man. Especially to do that in front of your peers and the other students. Yeah, I got to say that was cruel.
Did you guys read any of the comments?
No.
Okay, so I went right to the comment section, and I don't know anything about Lord of the Rings, but people were saying that is brilliant. It was a setup because those were all the main character names of everybody in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I caught that with Wood and Bloom, Elijah Wood, Orlando Bloom. I was like, what are the chances?
Oh, so it's satirical.
Okay. Total sketch. Right. I wouldn't have known unless I went to the comment section. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Abby, you want to talk about this, the advice that you're getting from Mo about your Christianity journey?
Oh, yeah. Mo may have dropped some knowledge during my most recent break where I was lamenting about my journey with Christianity. And just to give you a quick backstory as to my history with religion is I grew up very religious. I grew up in the church. My parents were very involved. I was very involved. I loved going to youth group. I was a certified Bible thumper for a good majority of my life. And I don't say that to be derogatory. I just kind of look back and I go, wow, I was like probably seen as maybe like that weird Jesus freak back in the day. But I just think it's because I had a really good relationship with spirituality and my faith, and it was a really positive part of my life for the most of it. But I think just as I've gotten older, I just am just thinking critically as to where religion sits in my life and why do I believe certain things? Can I really stand on business when asked about my faith? And is it just because this is what I've always believed that it just feels very natural to me? And I can go into a whole dissertation about it, which I just won't. And so basically the long story short of that is at the age of 28, I'm just at a weird crossroads where I am not sure if I would identify as a Christian anymore. There's a weird part of me that wants to be on that path. Like, I don't want to change who I've been my entire life. I do not want to change the beliefs I've had my entire life, but I just don't know if what I truly believe aligns with that anymore. So I'm in kind of this weird position of trying to figure that out, but being really scared to take those steps. And I'm scared to go back into church because I'm scared the second I walk back into church, I will be confirmed in the fact that I don't believe anymore. And that's a really scary thing to now have to reevaluate your life and your moral compass and just all those really annoying things that you have to do when you're a young adult. You just don't want to do. It's a lot of work. I should be in the club right now dancing to Pitbull. I should not be having an existential religious crisis.
What are the things specifically, and I'm sorry to cut you off for just 1 second. What are the things specifically you are struggling with that are messing with what you used to believe as opposed to what you believe now, which is making you question your religion?
Well, I mean, I just don't know if it's true or not. You know what I mean? I think you just look at the way religion has played out through history and you just start to think about it more from an adult standpoint of like, oh, everybody has a religion that they are willing to die for and they have a religion that they are willing to stand on business and just feel passionate about. I'm like, well, if that person across the world feels that way about Hinduism or whatever, who's to say that my feelings about my religion are the quote unquote correct one? You know, everyone thinks that their beliefs are correct. So if I'm, you know, I don't want to live in a vacuum where I feel like just because I believe because of certain things that have happened in my life that it is all due to Christianity. Like I feel like in some way I'm discounting other people's beliefs. And I'm just thinking about it from like an overarching standpoint where you've also seen like how religion has played out in wars. And I'm just thinking about how it's mm-hmm. shaped the world more so as an institution rather than like, is this something that is actually factual and true? Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is by doing a deep dive yourself and by really looking into what that religion stands for. And if you really believe that there is a higher power out there that aligns with that specific religion. And so that's where I'm at. And the way I got to that was just by looking at the things in my life that I have attributed to Christianity, whether you feel like you've quote unquote heard something from God, or you feel like God was quote unquote putting you on that path. I'm just starting to wonder, I'm like, am I attributing these things in my life to God, or are they just working out for me because, you know, I've done the work to get to certain places, or, I'm not sure if these things are actually God rather than just like the way life is playing out.
So interesting. So I attribute it all to God, but are there pastors that you're talking to about it, or people that are in the field that have dealt with the same thing?
Well, I went to a class at Buckhead Church for mm-hmm. a while that was it was an interesting experience. I don't know if it necessarily directed me on the right path. I just don't know if those classes were set up for what I was actually going through, which was an existential crisis.
Yeah.
I felt like it was sort of step one for I'm an unbeliever and I'm going to try and figure things out. Whereas I was there to like, I was there to be like, answer these questions. Like, please, like, tell, like, is this true? Why? And I just didn't really feel like I got the answers that I needed. Not that I didn't think it was a good resource. It just wasn't what I needed and what I'm looking for. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out what those next steps are, because there have been a couple of times where I've turned on like an online sermon and I'm like, God's going to speak to me through this sermon. And that's going to be the thing that brings me back to the church. And then it's like a sermon on tithing. I'm like, well, okay, that God does. If there is a God, he clearly doesn't care that I just turned on and I was like waiting for a sign. So I was talking about this on air for, you know, the fifth time. And Mo said something about his own journey with Christianity and finding his faith again. And you said that your mom at one point had just said, well, if you are asking God all these things, why don't you just talk to him? And for me, that's one of those things that steered me away from Christianity, where I felt like I was talking to God. Like I felt like I was getting all these signs and things that I was attributing to God. And then it just felt like my life wasn't congruent with what I was quote unquote hearing or whatever. And so then I'm like, well, I'm really just telling the wind a lot of secrets. That's what I'm starting to feel. And so I just started to really feel like I wasn't talking to God. Like, I think that's really what pushed me away was I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm talking to God, but I don't really know if this is actually a two-sided conversation. And that just really put a lot of doubt in my mind that there really is somebody up there listening. And so I've avoided talking to God because of that wound. And I thought, well, if I'm really trying to come to a conclusion, I need to stop twiddling my thumbs and going, well, maybe this will be the day. Maybe this will be the day. Maybe this will be the sermon that turns me around. And why don't I just give it a month, 40 days or whatever, because 40 is kind of a biblical number. I'm like, I'll play into this Christianity thing. I'll for 40 days, I will talk to God every single day consistently and see how I feel at the end of those 5 weeks. If I still feel like at the end of those 40 days that there is nobody talking back to me, then maybe that's my answer. But maybe at the end of those 40 days, I will have felt more clarity. Maybe God will be like, finally, we've been waiting for you, girlfriend. Been seeing you taking shots of tequila at the bar. You could have been hanging out with me instead. So I think that's where I'm at. And I think those are the next steps I'm going to take to try and get some answers for me.
And so, and obviously this is very personal and I don't expect you to share, but I'm curious, like, what have your conversations been like with Sky Daddy?
With Sky Daddy?
I wouldn't lead with that.
Yes. Hey, Sky Daddy.
Hey, Sky Daddy.
Listen, if you look around, God loves a good joke.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yes, come as you does. Please. That's what he say.
It's been a while since I've actually had those conversations, so I can't remember the last time me and Sky Daddy had a conversation, except for me just sometimes, like, yelling at him if I'm being like, well, if there really was a God, this would happen. But I remember those last conversations years ago.
So you haven't started your 40 days yet?
No, I have not started those 40 days yet. Was that your question? Because now it's just kind of...
No, you're okay.
A couple years ago, I used to keep a journal so I could kind of keep track of the things that I've talked to Sky Daddy about to see if there were any resolutions. And I would feel like, okay, I talked to him about this on Tuesday, and then the next Tuesday, this happened. And that must mean he was listening to me and... you know, answering that prayer for me. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I feel like this is maybe my own confirmation bias as I was reading through those journals. So a lot of it's just things that are going on in your life. Like you're praying for a certain thing. You think you're getting signs that this thing is going to happen. And I just started to wonder, I'm like, I feel like I'm developing a mental illness because I feel like now I'm just talking to myself more so than Sky Daddy.
I'm rooting for you on this journey because a lot of the things you're saying just resonate with me. And I really remember being in a very, very similar place. And I never counted the days or thought about how long I did it. But what I did learn in that time when I felt like, all right, like it pretty much my attitude was, it was, God, if you're there and you're real, this the time. Like I need you now more than ever and I need you to show out. And it took a while. It's not like it wasn't like a magical thing that happened where it was like, oh, I know he's there. But what I did learn through that journey was I really convinced myself somehow that God wasn't listening to me. But when I saw how things began to play out, when I started to focus more on if God was there, I think I wasn't listening to him. Mm-hmm. And I think he was there the whole time.
I learned a lot about this from my kid, Hollis, who is deeply Catholic. And he was going through a very, very difficult time there for a couple of months. And when I circled back with him just a couple of weeks ago about it, he said that he felt like this is just a lesson for him. And I don't know if it applies to you or not. For him, it was, he felt like he was struggling so much because he wasn't closer to God than he should have been. Like, he wasn't praying enough. He wasn't speaking to God. He wasn't listening to God. And that's when things started to unravel for him emotionally and also in his life. And then as soon as he started giving himself the talk that, okay, I got to start chatting with God again, it all turned around for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the lesson is.
Well, I love that for him. But I think I've listened to that sermon 1,000 times where it's like, you know, your life starts to turn around the closer and closer you get to God. But I'm like, how do I know that that's just not me attributing those things to meditation? You know what I mean? Like, what's the difference between prayer as Christians see it versus just taking some time to really sit and be still with what's going on in my life?
I always remember this one also that I read. And by the way, I have Jewish roots, but are not tied to them because I never got bar mitzvah and I was kind of raised in the church. And I'm not deeply religious or anything like that, but I do think I'm deeply spiritual. And I remember this lesson that I heard a couple of months ago. It's just like, you know, you were asking God for a cake. This one, you're asking God for a cake and he didn't give you a cake on Tuesday. And you're like, where's my cake? But he put sugar next to you. And then on Wednesday, you're like, where's my cake? And he put like flour next to you also, but it wasn't a cake. So you didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think that just goes into the deeper thoughts that I've been having as to, you know, I can think that this sugar is from God, but what if this is just life-lifing?
But I can also think from just like if you're just being super practical and logical about it, what makes you think God is real, but Allah is not? What makes you think God is real, but Buddha is not? What makes you, there's literally 10,000 other religions out there. So I can understand those questions being like, what makes me think this is the right one and everybody else is wrong?
Exactly. I mean, there's people across the world that feel like they hear from God. And I'm not saying that there's not a God. I'm just trying to go through my thought process. They think they are hearing from Allah, and the things that they do are attributed to how Allah works in their life. So, I mean, it's just kind of like, maybe there's a higher power, but how do I know that it's Christianity, you know?
So this is not Allah, but this is Ali who has some advice for you. Maybe this is the sign from God you need.
That would have been really cool if it happened.
We got Allah on my floor. Hey, Ali, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. I just want to kind of time in here. Abby, I grew up in the church, very similar to you. I feel like I relate to Christianity. I'm a very Southern Baptist, and my whole family is. But I feel like it's not really religion. It's more of your relationship with God. And I feel like when you take religion out of it and all that kind of stuff, it's just a very personal relationship with God. And hearing you talk about this, like, maybe you should explore other, you know, religions outside of Christianity. I mean, it doesn't have to be Christianity, you know. You could find something that you more, you know, more relate to. And I also think that if you feel one way, like if you believe something, if you believe in God, if you believe in Allah, I don't think it discounts other religions. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's very personal to you and your relationship with God or whoever. But I just think it's all just overall very important to have that, just that faith in something.
Maybe this goes along with what you told us all along, is that you've never had a serious relationship with a man.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe this Jesus is just one of the men that haven't had a relationship.
Yeah, but everyone else knows God's a woman.
The Burt Show.
Hey, anything you miss live on The Burt Show, you know you can always get caught up later on in the day on demand when you're in the car, whatever. You have some more time, maybe at lunch, and you want to hear what's going on, because if you miss a minute, you miss a lot. Like you might have missed the big old celebrity that we had call in yesterday. Always get caught up on The Burt Show. We have a podcast, and you can listen to it anytime you want. It's called The Burt Show. Listen to it on any podcasting platform.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco are revealing the unconventional thing they are not doing at their upcoming wedding. But before we get into that, I want to play this really fun clip from the Impulsive podcast where Logan Paul is interviewing Abby from Love on the Spectrum. And if you haven't heard the show recently, we have been raving about this show. If you have not watched it, it is so joyful. Like, it's one of those things that you can watch. And if you have other things to do, of course, you can like kind of do stuff in the background and kind of have it going on. But like, you will get sucked in by how honest and how joyful these people are in their dating lives.
I know we're not supposed to be watching TV or be on our electronics right before we go to sleep, but there are, if you're going to do it, there are just some shows that are better than others. Like The Last of Us, no bueno. This show that you're talking about here, Love on the Spectrum, easy watch, and it makes you feel so good.
Easy watch. And it's just so fun. And some of these, the people that they interview and they follow them on their dating lives, of course, they're people on the autism spectrum. They're just, some of them you just really connect with. And Abby has been on the show for a couple of seasons. She's been dating her boyfriend, David, for a while. She actually even had a song go on the charts that she sang at the end of one of her episodes where she was asking David to be her boyfriend forever. It was so sweet.
Is she the woman where we used her audio a couple of weeks ago that was not breaking up with a guy, just telling him on their first date that this is not going to happen for me?
No, different woman. But to your point, that was a very honest clip. And I think that's one of the most refreshing parts about watching Love on the Spectrum is just how honest they are in their dating lives and how honest they are in every area in their life. And that goes to show in this clip as well, where Logan Paul interviews Abby from Love on the Spectrum about how she feels about being famous.
Do you like being famous?
I do, because I want to make more money. That's why marriage is on my social media.
What do you want to buy with all this newfound money?
I want to build my own water park, but I don't make as much money as Chapel Round does.
If she's in a parasitic record label deal, there's a chance maybe you are wealthier and have a higher net worth than Chapel Round.
She does. She's
what about
label.
Sabrina Carpenter?
Look, she has
a lot more money.
You know, what I love about the show also is that there seems to be a narrative going around that if you're autistic, you'll never hold a job. You'll never be able to play a sporting event. You'll never be able to do this.
You'll
be a burden on your parents. And it just doesn't match up with what you see in real life on this show. It's just making me so happy to watch.
I know. They're way more independent than I think the perception of people on the spectrum are. And I think what's so cool about this show is that it really is educating people on what it is like to live on the autism spectrum and showing just how independent they can be. Like when she said she was going to build her own water park, I'm like, you totally should. And you should make it accessible for people with disabilities. And I feel like it would just be such a great way to really uplift people with those disabilities and just show that you can do anything no matter what you know, you're going through or what you were born with. So if, again, if you haven't seen Love on the Spectrum, it's so fun and beyond refreshing to watch.
I'm not just saying, I would make a suggestion though, whoever gets Connor on from this show for our contest, that's pretty cool.
Oh, I might have to pull some strings.
That'd be pretty cool.
All right, Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco are doing something unconventional at their wedding that most people do. They are, or they're not doing something that most people do at their wedding. So Selena Gomez says that she is not planning on having a first dance when she gets married.
Have you chosen the music for your first dance?
I don't think we're looking at having one of those because they're a little...
She's shy.
I feel embarrassed.
She doesn't want to have a first dance.
I will have a special dance with my papa, who... He's my
grandfather.
Yes, it's my grandfather, and he's my mom's father. And he never got a chance to walk my mom down the aisle, because good for my mom. She decided to go to Vegas and be like, woo, and she's still been with him ever since they were like 26.
That was courtesy of the Table Manners podcast. And that's something I've heard a lot from my friends who have gotten married recently is you don't really anticipate just how much you are the center of attention that day. Like, you know, you're going to have a wedding one day, you know, your friends and family are going to be there, but you get so like, you almost have this stage fright of like, oh, everything we do is centered around us. Everybody is going to have eyes on us all at all times. So good for Selena Gomez for recognizing that about herself and knowing that this is not, that wouldn't make her day special. Doing something else would.
Just, I want to push back on this for just 1 second. The suggestion is that people don't understand how much they're going to be the center of attention on their own birthday or their own wedding.
I don't think people, that's what my friends who are brides who have gotten married recently, like they know it's going to be a big party, but they forget like, oh, I'm standing up there and I forget that everybody is going to watch me kiss my now husband. Like it's a lot more, I don't think they really think deeply about how much they are like the stars of this party.
Yeah.
I think it's because what we do for a living and like hosting events and having eyes on us and stuff, you become a little less affected by it. But for somebody to do something like that and you literally have eyes on you all day long when you're saying when you're walking down the aisle, when you're saying your vows, when you walk into the reception, during the dances, as you're cutting the cake, when you're making speeches, and it can be very overwhelming for a lot of people if that's not something you're accustomed to.
It wouldn't seem like it would be a shock though, right? Like, I mean, you know this is coming. I mean, it's a wedding.
It's not a shock, but it may shock you how it makes you feel.
Every wedding I've been to, the person seemed to enjoy being the center of attention. They couldn't wait.
No, man, that first dance is so awkward. Yeah. I remember about 30 seconds in, I was like, can this be over? And it wasn't because I wasn't enjoying the moment with my husband, because I was, but it just felt like you had to... I felt like I had to perform in some way and make it entertaining for everybody, or else they would get bored. And so I was just in my head about that the entire time. So I understand why a performer whose living is performing may not want to perform on her wedding day.
Also, you feel like you have that burden of making sure everybody has a good time. So I think a lot of these brides just put so much pressure on themselves that it's nice to just be able to take off the pressure where you know you're going to feel it the most. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Today is follow-up Thursday. Hey, why are you so excited?
I'm just so excited for something new and fun and just going to shake things up because we have a celebrity on the line.
I feel like somebody knows who the celebrity is.
I just really didn't want to do my story.
Seriously?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, because it's not the one I pitched for this week.
Okay. All right, so when that sound goes off, as you guys listening know, that means we have a celebrity on the line. I have tasked the Burt Show, challenged, I would say, the Burt Show to get A-list celebrities to call in. Whoever gets the biggest celebrity to call in based on your votes at the end of the next 2 weeks, that will be the winner of our contest. And that Burt Show member gets a week off paid vacation. So we have had celebrities calling all the time over the last couple of days for our Burt Show members. So we have no idea who's on the line. We can't see it on our screening software. No idea whatsoever. So it's on the fly. And Kristen likes to give herself a little of an advantage. So she Googles the area code of the person that is calling. It's going to help you not at all right now.
It's not.
What's the area code?
Well, they're local.
Yes. Oh.
She's always hoping for L.A.
Well, L.A. or New York, but there's
a very big, lots of big celebrities here.
It could be like Tyler Perry.
That's what I'm thinking. Like Atlanta is like Hollywood of the South, so it could be, I mean, it still could be a very, very significant celebrity.
You know, we could find out if we answer the phone.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah. Good morning, Burt Show. Who is this?
Hello, this is Connor from Love on the Spectrum. On Netflix.
Come on! Connor, thank you for calling.
Hello, it's nice to meet you all. This is actually my first time.
Doing a radio show?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So we were just suggesting this because we were talking about Love on the Spectrum, and I, on Abby's suggestion here, I started watching the show. I'm in absolute love with the show, but it's your storyline and your family that has me gripped, man. You are so good, and you're so funny.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I would watch a reality show just of your family. Like, it's so entertaining. Honestly, there would be sometimes when I was rewatching it, I'd just skip to the parts to rewatch you and your love story when you found your demigoddess and just so sweet.
Is cutting the TV show what you thought it would be? Or is there so many moving parts behind the scenes that you could have never predicted that? Or is this what you thought it would be?
Oh, it's what I thought it would be and a bit more.
In what ways is it a bit more?
Well, for one thing, I'm more popular now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm trying to see Georgie more often. And, frankly, I think everything's brightening up for me.
Oh, that's
in a way.
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear, Connor. I'm curious about your morning routine, Connor. So, like, what do you do in the mornings and what do you listen to get yourself ready for the day?
Please don't say another morning show. That's really going to backfire on us.
No, not much, really. I get up, I shower, I eat breakfast. As I brush my teeth, my mom takes me. Our YouTube channel, Car Rides with Connor. It's really fun. It's got lots of fun facts.
Connor, I've loved...
And I feed the my dogs almost forgot about that.
Connor, I've loved watching you fall in love with your girlfriend, Georgie. Can you tell me about the last date you guys went on?
Oh, it was actually pretty recent. We went to a dog park, took a little trip to the aquaria. She really enjoys seeing the whale sharks and the sea turtles.
I know your life has probably changed a bit with the success of the show. How has the adjustment been for you?
I can barely take... without being swarmed by my new friends.
Is that weird for you? Like, does it make you anxious at all to, like, sort of be looking around all over the place knowing that people might know who you are?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, I've come to expect it and let it be known. Connor always has time for his fans.
Love it.
And Connor, what do you want people to take away from watching the show about autism and people with autism?
People on the spectrum, like me, often struggle with the harsh realities of life. In fact, most times we need all the support we can get, but sometimes we're able to push ourselves through hard points, through the eye of the needle, if you'll indulge me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes pushing ourselves helps us achieve wonders. Because as someone very special to me, my brother Jack, once told me, what is on the other side of fear? Greatness.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
Still a good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, as long as we stay away from level 15, everything's going to be okay. If you don't watch 15, the show, you don't know.
15, but that was a good try.
Hey, Connor, man. Oh, go ahead, Tommy.
I will say we've got Connor this morning just for, you know, a couple minutes here, but he and his mom will be coming in the studio in the very near future.
Come on. So excited.
Mom is checking the calendar, and they're trying to figure it out. They're out of town right now. He's actually calling from out of town. So when they get back to town, hopefully in the near future, Connor and his mom, Lise, will be in the studio on the Burt Show.
Oh, my God. That would be. Do you have any idea what you might want to do when you come in here? I mean, we'll give you free rein, man.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love the show. Thank you.
Well, thanks. All right. Come on in whenever you want, Connor. Connor, it is absolutely great talking to you. I am more excited about this than I was Homer Simpson yesterday. And he called in yesterday.
I love The Simpsons. I enjoy The Simpsons.
All right, Connor, have yourself a great day. Can't wait to have you in studio.
I can't wait either.
All right, take care.
Okay, take care now. Bye-bye then.
Bye now. I love that guy. I love that guy. I love that show. Thank you, Abby, for giving me that show. He is really great. His storyline is so great, and his family is, they're funny, and it is fantastic. And what you just got there is a great snapshot of what you see every week. He is a great kid.
I have watched season after season of The Bachelor, and there nothing gets me more excited than seeing somebody fall in love in real time. And seeing Connor fall in love with Georgie tops anything I've ever seen.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.